The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Sif Hyder, the founder of Array. I'm a wellness entrepreneur and digital creator, and this is my show, the Dream Bigger Podcast. Listen, I love dreaming big, but you know what I love more? Actually having the resources to make those big dreams happen. And hey, dreams can sometimes be private jets, but other times they can look a little something like having the best skin of your damn life, or starting a successful business, or delving into spirituality. So on this podcast, I chat with experts and thought leaders from different fields about their tips and tricks on doing exactly that. So let's get right into it.
Hello, hello, friends. What is up? And welcome back to another episode of the Dream Bigger Podcast. Today's guest is Julia Broom, who is an incredible social media strategist who you guys are going to learn so much from. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory here, okay? So two things started to happen at once. Number one, you guys, anytime I would do my series on Wednesday on Instagram where I ask you for your current goals and I recommend a book or a podcast, a lot of you guys would ask me about tips on how to grow on social media. So that was top of mind for me. I knew I wanted to bring on a social media expert to talk about that. And then at the same time, I stumbled upon Julia's account on TikTok. And I was like, this girl really knows what she's talking about. She was giving these incredibly tangible tips for how to grow on social that actually worked. Like, these were things that anyone could implement. There was a lot of research and logic behind what she was saying, and everything was true. So I was like, I have to get this girl on the podcast. And so fast forward to a few months of following her, I was like, okay, she's the real deal. And I reached out to her to come on the podcast. And what's really funny is I'm someone who is very good with faces. And so if I have met you at some point, I feel like I know that I've met you. I may not even remember your name, but I can be like, I remember meeting this person at this point. And so what's really funny is that I had actually met Julia years and years ago in a different capacity. And so when I reached out to her, I was like, by the way, this is going to sound so creepy. And I hope that, you know, it doesn't come off that way, but in case that I've made a mistake, but did I meet you like, you know, back in 2018, 2019 and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yes, that is so weird. Anyway, this was very much meant to be. Also, side note, Julia just launched her planner. It's called the Soch Planner. It is for social media and planning out posts and all of that. It is incredibly helpful. I've never actually seen a planner like this. It really does help you kind of streamline and plan all your social media posts. So, you know, if you are someone who is wanting to become more regular with how you're approaching social media, you should look into her planner. Also, it is beautiful. It's this beautiful, like, felt dark green situation as the cover. Anyway, I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. I think you are going to learn so much. And with that, let's welcome Julia Broom to the Dream Bigger Podcast.
So I want to start the conversation off by talking about just the overarching landscape. So what does someone do on TikTok or Instagram today, and actually not, or and Instagram and TikTok both today, to be successful?
Oh my gosh, there's just so many things. So my brain like goes to, you want to build a community. And on Instagram and on TikTok, there are very strategic things that you can be doing. Mm-hmm. So when I look at a client and when I look at anyone who's like on Instagram and on TikTok, I really look at like, what kind of content are you producing and how does it attract an audience? What kind of niche is it? What kind of content are you putting out so that you're making sure that you can actually attract the people that you want to attract? Everybody wants growth. Everybody wants followers. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things that goes into that. So at the very baseline, you want to think about in terms of trends, I mean, there's so many and it changes every single day. But you want to think about trending audio. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the time on Instagram and on TikTok, there's trending audio that you can be using to kind of boost yourself. So right now, I mean, there's the Beyonce one. Like, Instagram will kind of like favor certain audios and favor certain trends. I had a call with Meta, mm-hmm. and there's like secrets that they don't really share, but I'm going to share them. Basically, they want you to be posting 3 to 5 times a week. And they don't want you to like overdo it. They want you to be posting 3 to 5 times a week. They want stories every single day. They want you to let your stories run out until you post more stories. So
wait. What do you mean? Tell me.
So for example, uh-huh. let's say you posted a batch of stories, okay, on Monday. Uh-huh. They want you to let those run out and until the 24 hours is done, and then post another round of stories.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait, so then if I finish posting at Monday 9 p.m., then they want me to start posting again Tuesday 9
p.m.? Basically, it's not like a rule of thumb, uh-huh. like it's not a have to,
yeah.
but they're rewarding the behavior of letting it run out because then they can get as much views and like reach rate as possible on stories for you. Let it run out and then post again. Yes, if you post it on 9 p.m., realistically, they would want you posting.
Wait, this actually makes sense though, because
yes.
I usually like Sunday is the one day of the week where I like fully take off, okay, and I don't post anything, okay,
yeah.
and then the next day when I post, I get like a shit ton of views.
I'm not surprised.
Like it's the
I'm
most
not surprised
on Monday morning.
No, I'm literally not surprised at all because they want you to let it run out. Like they want you to every single day let it run out and then post again.
Wait, this is, okay, so this is very
cool.
So
this is one thing. Uh-huh. So that's just one thing that's like a trending thing that nobody talks about that I know.
Okay.
And then another thing is for TikTok, also on stories, TikTok stories are being so underutilized.
Yeah.
So TikTok stories is something that I talk about a lot.
I started using them because of you.
I'm proud. I'm so proud. That is a huge growth tactic. Like I have girls being like, I grew 500 followers, like just in one day, like from doing it, like, obviously, those are the girls who are doing it consistently.
Course.
But I like to be like, okay, what can you be doing every single day that is like the little things that make the biggest difference?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like not everybody's going to have skyrocketed growth. That just doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
The overnight growth is not a thing. Doesn't exist. I just like get frustrated when I see people be like, all you need to do is this one thing or this one hack. And that's just not the way social media works.
I completely call bullshit anytime I see one of those videos. I'm like, this is just not true.
No, it's just not true. I'm sorry. Like, you'll never see me be like, you just need to do this one thing and then you're an influencer tomorrow.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm sorry. Never will I ever say that. Like, and there's just so much work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing for TikTok, just going since we're on that, mm-hmm. is when you are posting, like, making sure that you're kind of like fitting to what they want. So I don't know if you've noticed, but TikTok is telling you what they want posted. They're like, make sure it's plus one, like a minute long. They want minute long, long form content. They want you to not use the 7 second trends anymore. That's not a thing. So if you do that, they're gonna reward you. Like basically like, it's hard. Like a lot of people wanna make social media really complicated and like overwhelming. And I like to take a step back and simplify it for people. So I'm like, no, that's not what you have to do. What you really actually have to do is listen to the platform. Like if a platform is telling you something or pushing something, do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they want longer form content. And that's actually really beneficial because I like to get, and I think we should get into this. I like to get into the like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Pinterest and how you can kind of like repurpose your content for everything because content is so overwhelming if you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
But as far, just to like wrap up the question, uh-huh. as far as trends go, like it really just depends on who your audience is. So like, yes, the Instagram stories is a great thing to start because they are going to reward that. They're going to push that out. But at the same time, making sure that you're not just doing trending content all the time on mm-hmm. Instagram or on TikTok, that actually is not going to be rewarded. So that's why we see like Charli D'Amelio, she just fell off because all she did was trends.
Yeah, I think that you, like what you're saying is so true. And
yeah.
I understand why TikTok is actually pushing the 1+ minute thing, because I feel like when you get comfortable talking to the camera and actually like, or whatever it is,
yeah.
like a day in the life vlog, like yeah. whatever your style of longer form, quote unquote, content is, whether that's a minute or like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like you can connect with your audience on a deeper level and they can get to know you a little bit better.
For sure, which is why, like, I don't even know if I brought this up, but community is the thing that, like, everybody should really be focusing on. And there are so many ways to build community. And I think that that's, like, the question I get probably the most is, like, how do I build a community? And I haven't really shared it because this is kind of the perfect platform to do it so that I can actually get into it. But basically, there's so many like buzzwords of like, oh, building a community and being authentic and being like, you know, you're so spot on of like being like on all the time. When you build a community, whether it's for yourself or for your brands, there's two things that you need to think and have in mind. Basically, community building is all about your audience. So stop thinking about you all the time. It really needs to be reflected to your audience. How are you serving them on a daily basis? How can you help them? How can you inspire them? How can you entertain them? A community wants to be handed these things on a silver platform so that they don't need to like think about it. Like it's all given to them. You are the hub. Like you are the hub for your community and they know that on a daily basis, you're going to give them what they want. I think you've done a really good job of that with your brand.
Thank you.
Also, going back to like if you're a person or if you're a brand, there's several things that you can be doing. So I kind of want to like categorize it.
Yes.
So if you're a person, if you're an influencer, if you're a creator, the things that you want to look at, and I hear people be like, oh yeah, you just ask your audience questions on Instagram stories and like that's building a community. Absolutely not. That's just like one thing that you can do.
This is not like, you know, hanging out with the Riddler.
No.
Like no one wants to be asked a billion questions. Like
exactly.
I think it's fine if you like ask them here and there.
Yes.
Like, but you should be the one providing, not like, well, wouldn't just you get tell me? Like,
exactly.
No, you should be, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think that like so many people are like, all you need to really do is answer questions and that's really how you build community. No, as a creator, how you build community is on a daily basis, being in their comments, like listening to what people are asking for, tagging brands, tagging other people, going live. That is a huge thing that I am not seeing creators do enough.
On TikTok and Instagram?
On TikTok and Instagram.
Stop.
So underrated. And it's the best way to build a community. Not only are you just like sitting there giving your undivided attention to the people who are sitting there with you, asking questions, engaging with you. It's such a good, like, first of all, as a creator, you're going to walk off feeling so fulfilled because you've connected with your audience. They're going to feel that exact same fulfillment, like without a doubt. So it's that, like on Instagram and on TikTok, adding that in once a week at least, huge.
When we first started Array, we of course used Shopify as our back end, which is what we obviously still use to date, but back then, we would have the sound on our phone. And so anytime we would hear the sound, cha-ching, we would be so excited. And anyone who has Shopify knows this sound. It is like an adrenaline rush. It's the best feeling on the face of the planet. And Nish and I still to this day, when Black Friday comes around, we still turn our phones on for like the sound on for like maybe 20 minutes. After that, it's like too much. So Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go Mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is here to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dreambigger, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dreambigger to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/dreambigger. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Mary Alice Haney.
And I'm Dr. Thais Aliabadi.
Dr. A, as she is known, is a world-renowned OBGYN. And together, we're launching a new podcast, She MD, to empower women to become their own health advocate.
We're providing women with the knowledge and tools to really own their own health.
With celebrity guests and today's leading experts, we're dropping episodes every Tuesday. So listen and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
I want to get a little bit more granular. Say someone's like, okay, Julia, I want to go live.
Okay.
Well, given, and I want to talk about different, like I guess, like types of creators.
Yeah.
Like say, like
yeah.
fashion. Let's do fashion.
Yeah.
Beauty.
Give me anything.
Business.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of lives would you have each of these people do?
Really just, honestly, whatever they want and whatever they feel like. So if you're, I would honestly like theme it. And uh-huh. I have a friend who I've like kind of coached through lives with, and it's almost like they tell you what they want in each live and you make that the theme for the next live. So you go live the first time and it's like, ask me anything. Let's chat, mm-hmm. whatever. It's a very generic live. From there, you're going to start to see the questions coming in or the comments coming in. And you're going to be like, oh, wow. Everybody wants to know spring styles. Like everybody wants to know like what the trends are for spring cleaning. What should I toss out of my closet? Those things. Mm-hmm. So maybe next time you get into your closet and you walk them through what you're tossing out for spring or what you bought for spring. Like it is now an intimate setting. It's like, oh, wow, I've listened to my audience. So you've listened to like what they've said in those comments and you're like, okay, now I'm going to do it. Bring them in my closet with me and we're going to go through it together. And I'm going to be like, should I keep this? Should I not? Or, oh, this is also what I bought. Here's how I'm going to style it. Those are things that you can do. And then the next time they're like, well, what's your process of like organizing your closet? Like, oh my God, I love how your closet is so organized and clean. And like, what are those containers? Okay, next time we're going to go through those things. So you're just listening each time, theming it out. It kind of gets like to be really fun and really easy and like it's not as like pressurized, you know?
I love that. That's actually genius.
It's so smart. And I feel like nobody, because I think everyone got burnt out in 2020 from doing
lives.
Yeah,
there were so many lives.
There were so many lives. And now I'm seeing like a rebirth, you know? And on TikTok, the same thing. With TikTok though, it's really interesting. You can make a live event. So like you make that live event and it kind of becomes like every week they know that you're going to show up at a certain time and they can kind of like press that they're attending.
Right.
So it feels like an event. And then you, if you get really good at lives, you can make a lot of money.
Through like selling like TikTok shop, right?
Not just TikTok shop, just like if you go live, people can send you gifts or like you can create a subscription for your live. And like if you have a really good live, you just can make a ton of money. I have a creator who's making six figures off of a live. Yeah.
What on earth?
Yeah. That's insane.
Well, I know that TikTok is really pushing lives as a channel because obviously as a brand, like I get intel from the brand side,
yes.
right? And so what's really interesting is that, first of all, TikTok shop is like a whole thing that we should probably
talk about
during this conversation.
Yeah.
But I feel like what they are really pushing is these live TikTok sellers.
Yes. So like those are the things. It's kind of like Amazon too. You see it with Amazon Live. It's like all of these platforms kind of like use each other for inspo and start doing that. So it's almost like in your best interest as a creator to start doing that too. Mm-hmm. Let's say you started going live mm-hmm. and you were just talking about Array and mm-hmm. like the pills, whatever, you'd probably see a massive uptick in sales just from doing that.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like I should probably start going live.
It's just like natural and people feel like, you know, they know you and it's yeah. like that way. And that's for a creator. Like, uh-huh. I mean, obviously brands can go live too, because I was talking kind of more about building a community for a creator.
Creator, yeah.
But there are definitely ways for a brand to do the same. So obviously like you're the face of your brand. So mm-hmm. it's kind of easy in a way for you to just hop on your brand and go live. However, not every brand has it so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like not every brand has the face or the influencer behind the brand. So at that point, they have to kind of like depend on their brand partnerships. And I am not seeing enough brands think about like community building in their brand partnerships.
Yes.
They're just thinking about sales. And at the core of conversions is community. So it's like,
it's such a short-sighted approach when brands are not thinking of community. It is the most bizarre thing to me.
I'm like, I don't understand, like, who's there behind them helping them? Like, I think that, like, there needs to be a conversation because it's like, that is at the very core of everything. That's how you're going to get an audience obsessed with you, obsessed with your brand.
Yeah, I think people, when it comes to the brand side of things specifically, they want to feel an emotional connection
yes.
with a brand, right? And that
yes.
just does not happen if you don't build community and if it's just a very superficial, like, beautiful feed with really like no story, like no nothing, you know?
Too often I see, like, I'll go to a brand and it's just graphics. Oh. It's very graphic heavy.
Yeah.
And it's just cold and stale.
Yes.
And there's nothing in the stories. And if there is something in stories, it's like, link here, click here for this like product. It's so salesy. And then you like get brands who are like scratching their heads being like, why am I not converting on a daily basis? Like, why am I not up here when like my competitors are, or whatever it is? And it's like pretty clear to me and to you probably too, but it's like, they don't get it, you know?
So what should brands be focusing on doing? Because I know that, like, when I speak to my audience and, like, even when I was gathering questions, people were there being like, oh, I just started a brand, or, like, I really want my brand to have, like, a good community on social. So what are, like, do's and don'ts in your mind?
So a big do is to be very specific about the creators that you want to work with. And I think that this is so crucial. And brands are thinking of, like, it's almost old school to me, because brands are like, oh, well, you know, so-and-so has 3.2 million followers, like, let's partner with her. And they're not looking at her values. They're not looking at her comment section. They're not understanding that, like, the sentiment of her comments and the sentiment of her audience, and if they're, like, immediately, like, gonna go and convert, you know? They don't get that. So I think being really, really specific about who you're gonna partner with is gonna be really important. If you're in the early stages of a brand and you're not even, like, there in terms of partnerships, the way you can build community, if you're open to kind of showing your face online, is to kind of like show the behind the scenes, like open the door.
Build in public.
Exactly. Like, the things that are so behind the scenes are just the things that, like, people are missing the mark on. Those are the things where an audience can feel like, oh, I've seen them go from baby steps to now fruition. And it makes them feel like they have a seat at the table. It makes them feel like they're invested. And if you're like, oh, you know, I'm starting this, you know, new company, even for you, I mean, no one's too big for this. It's like, what kind of packaging do you like? What color packaging? What do you like to be sitting on your vanity? Asking them questions, like being like, do you like, you know, this style font or that style font? Do you like this packaging or that packaging? And making them feel like they've gone through it with you, so that when, by the time it gets to like the add to cart section and like people can check out, they're like, obviously I'm going to buy it. I made it.
Yeah.
You know,
you're so right.
It's like, I'm invested. I've created it with you, you know? So it's like an immediately yes, you know? It's not like, it takes out the guessing game of like, oh, wow, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea if that's gonna work. I don't really like that, you know?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Okay, so you talked about how to purpose content across different channels, okay? How can someone do that successfully? Because this can be very overwhelming.
So you need to start to think about content as how you can squeeze the most juice out of it. Okay. So if you're taking content, and obviously you are, but if you're taking content on a daily basis and you're planning it for the week, I like to think about how you can drip it out and for specific platforms. So the three that are like probably the most important and the most used are TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Those are the ones that I'm kind of like pushing people to get on. Mm. If you're creating something for YouTube, that in and of itself is going to be longer form, right?
Of course, yeah.
So that's your 10 to 15 minute long, almost like unedited, or it could be edited, but long form content. From there, you're going to want to take that video and squish it for TikTok, which is going to be also long form, but not as long form. So that's that 1 minute. Mm-hmm. And in that, you're going to want to take out some things. So like, it should be three different forms of content, but all in the same like sphere. It's like omni-channel. So it's like, okay, I have this really long version on YouTube. It's the extended version. On TikTok, it's gonna be more of like a long form. You're gonna get that value. And then on Instagram, you're gonna get a bonus version. And you're gonna get something that's not actually edited in TikTok and not actually edited in YouTube. So that there's differentiating things on all platforms. That's how you grow on every single platform so much faster, because you can say, I have an edited version on YouTube where you can see the long form content, or I have a bonus version on Instagram where there's maybe like something that you popped up that didn't get popped up in your TikTok video, where it's like a chart or something valuable that someone can use, or something that a good takeaway, you know, and you start to kind of like fuel your audience and you start to use that in your comments. You're like, there's a longer form content one on YouTube, go click that link. Or, oh, like, I really wish that you had put, you know, X, Y, and Z in there. I already did. It's on Instagram. Like, I post more on Instagram, like, this stuff.
Okay, so let's do, like, a very tangible example. Okay,
yes.
So let's think of someone who is... Actually, I'll do three different categories.
Okay.
To give everyone something.
Yeah.
So say someone's a fashion creator
yeah.
and they did an outfit like a get ready with me on TikTok. How
yes.
would you have them purpose it for Instagram?
So for Instagram, first of all, if it's a get ready with me
or
on,
like a get dressed with me.
Yeah, get dressed with me. Sure. Get dressed with me. And that's going on TikTok.
Yes.
So I would do a long form content version of that on YouTube and I would have it show how they did it. So like the curation of that, their thought process of what they chose,
uh-huh.
like the outfits that they chose. Like you're showing like kind of like all of that in the behind the scenes. And that's your long form of like, walk me through your thought process. And then the TikTok is the get ready with me. The outfit's already picked. So you're not showing that. You're mm-hmm. like, I already showed my process on YouTube. And you can kind of tease that in there. And then on Instagram, you show something that didn't get shown. So like, get ready with me and you showed your outfit on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on Instagram, you're going to show your outfit and then a quick like makeup, like your makeup tutorial or makeup, like, or the heels that you're picking, like you're choosing something that you didn't show. So I think Alex Earle is actually really, really good at doing this. She doesn't do this on YouTube, but she does it on TikTok where she will do a part two of something and she'll specifically leave something out. That is the thing that like gets people to come back for more. It's almost like a part two, but you're putting it on Instagram so that if someone's in the comments being like, well, what shoe did you end up using?
Mm.
That's where you, like your final effect is on Instagram.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So
okay.
That's how you like drip it out so that there's different content on every single one, but you're not having to film a bunch of different stuff.
Okay. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me about how someone in beauty would do the same thing.
So similar, like a similar vibe a little
yeah.
bit, but like, beauty, I think beauty and skincare go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I think so too.
So I think that like for anyone who's in beauty, they should be using their YouTube channels as something where they show the prep of that. So like everybody who's in beauty has like flawless skin. I always see people who are like applying makeup products. I'm like, yeah, 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 that's great and all. But like your skin is flawless. Like I want to know about your skincare routine. Like, and I see so many comments on these beauty influencers of people being like, okay, but your skin, like your glass skin. That is where you take advantage of YouTube. And you're like, that my video on skincare is in YouTube. And you push people there.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Instagram, you're showing kind of like, so Instagram, you want to think about it as like the 15 to 30 seconds. TikTok is the minute. YouTube is like the longer form, maybe like 10 minutes. And then Instagram is your 15 to 30 second bite of that. So as a beauty influencer, showing like something that they didn't show necessarily, like, so maybe it's like the end product, the lip. Okay, like their lip combo.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I would post on Instagram. And then if someone's like, okay, but like, how did you get your whole face to look like that? Like, what is your eyeshadow palette? Posted that on TikTok. So you're just like trying to make it a revolving door of like, I've already done it all. Like I'm jumping ahead to the comments. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about it, forward thinking. It's all out there already. And you just push it to everybody.
Someone with a business in the wellness space and someone who obviously lives and breathes wellness, I know the importance of personalized healthcare, okay? Because fact of the matter is that each of our bodies are so unique and what works for someone may not work for someone else. So for example, with me, I went through and have been for years doing personalized tests to make sure that the supplements that I'm taking for myself really do kind of address specific goals that I have or are addressing specific problems that I have, which is why I am so excited to partner with Wild Health. So Wild Health is founded by two emergency room physicians and takes a proactive and preventative approach to healthcare called precision medicine. So what they do is they use your genetics, biometrics, and lifestyle data to help you determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, and so much more. So basically, what it's doing is it's analyzing your data and giving you a plan that actually works for you, which is so important. So, You know, I was at dinner last night with a couple of my friends, and we were talking about how our bodies respond to different types of workouts and how our bodies also respond best to different types of food. Because fact of the matter is there's actually a lot at play when it comes to figuring out what kind of food and what kind of diet your body responds best to. So I know certain friends who look and feel so good on more of like a pescatarian diet. Whereas for me, if I go full pescatarian, I'm in so much trouble because I have something called thalassemia, which is a genetic issue that I have. So want to hear something crazy? LDLP measures cardiovascular disease risk above and beyond just the risk from high cholesterol. Of patients that tested with a high LDLP, 67% have shown improvement with wild health and decreased their risk of mortality of suffering from a cardiovascular disease. So that's just a sample of the kind of info you're going to get from Wild Health. What I was really excited about when I did my analysis was the fact that they had biological age testing, which is so interesting because it essentially tells you what your biological age is versus like your numerical age, which actually your biological age matters a lot more than your numerical age is all I will say. So whether you have a specific health goal like weight loss, body composition, or improved energy, or just want to optimize your health and prevent disease in general, Wild Health tailors a care plan with lifestyle first interventions rather than pills and prescriptions to, in the simplest sense, help you live longer. Plus, Wild Health is fully virtual via telemedicines and is available everywhere in the US. Wild Health is generously extending the Dream Bigger listeners 20% off the cost of membership with code DREAMBIGGER. Head over to wildhealth.com/dreambigger and use code DREAMBIGGER at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/dreambigger. Enjoy.
Okay, so speaking of answering comments, yes. I want to talk about the cold influencer.
Oh my God. This is like my favorite thing to talk about. Let me get settled. Like, let's talk.
So first of all, for people who maybe haven't seen your videos on this, what is a cold influencer and why do we need to stop doing that?
A cold creator is someone who just doesn't respond and pushes out a bunch of content, but just doesn't engage with the audience. They're basically just putting out content, leaving their phone on the table, not even like for a second being warm in the comment section, in their DMs, like listening to their audience, listening to what they want, listening to their feedback. None of that. So cold creators are what we've seen for years, honestly. Like a lot of the OG creators, like a lot of the OG influencers are unfortunately cold creators. They haven't evolved with the times of like, that's just not gonna work anymore. Like if you're not gonna give back to the audience who made you what you are, we're gonna leave you. Like we're not gonna sit around and wait for you to kind of give us attention that we're giving you. Mm-hmm. It's an exchange. It should be an even exchange.
Yeah.
So I don't wanna name names, but like I did name names on one TikTok so I can name her.
Yeah.
But Bobby, the podcaster, she's a cold creator, you know? And same with Charlie D'Amelio, a cold creator. She puts out a bunch of content. I mean, now she's putting out nothing, but like puts out a bunch of content, doesn't listen to her audience, doesn't engage, nothing. Alex Earle, warm creator.
Yes, oh my
God. She is in those comments. And you feel it as an audience member. You feel like she's your friend. Like,
yeah.
You know, she's done a really good job of doing that. So it's almost like thinking about that in that sense of like the OGs, they have to step it up, because I'm seeing a lot of people being like, I don't want to follow these people anymore. And I did a unfollowing purge too. I was like, I don't need to follow these people anymore.
Well, I mean, I think the whole point of social media is like the social component. And so
for sure.
And I think like TikTok creators specifically do it well, because I think TikTok is a platform that you kind of have to be warm with your community in order to even build. And I feel like it's almost people who are native to Instagram who maybe aren't habituated to that kind of warm exchange with their audience.
Right. And it's so important. It's so crucial to like have that. I know it's kind of like weird. A lot of the people who I do like one-on-ones with, or any of my clients in the past, because I have worked with some massive celebrities, even them are not big enough for me to be like, yeah, you don't even need to listen to your audience, or you don't even need to respond. It's so important. That like community management aspect is so important to a brand, to a creator, like to somebody who's looking to grow. It's like you want to really just give to the audience that you have. Even yes. if you have two people yes. commenting on your posts, that's two people who took the time to comment on that post. Give back to them, like show them that you're there, show them you appreciate, like ask them what they want to see more of. Those are things that like people just aren't doing enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's sometimes the key, you know. I don't like to say like that there's one thing, but like sometimes there is. It's just sometimes like there is that one thing, you know. So yeah, cold creators are just, it's time for them to go.
Everyone's heard you.
You've heard it here first.
Okay. So on that note, when it yeah. comes to listening to your audience, I also saw you do a really good video about this. And it was like, what was it? The two for me, two for you.
Yes. So I love this method.
Yeah. So can you get into that? Because yes. I really do think it's so just like it's genius because
thank you.
It's as a creator, sometimes like you know what your audience likes, but maybe you're evolving. So I'll let you get into it.
Yes. So this is for someone who's necessarily like in a niche potentially, or someone who has been like creating and you know what your audience likes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes those people are the people who are over creating that content or just kind of like sick of it themselves. And I find 9 times out of 10, when you are sick of creating content or sick of creating a certain kind of content, your audience can feel it and they know, they're intuitive to that. And also like that's when you're not putting your best foot forward. That's when you're not gonna grow because people feel that like hesitation. It's that blockage. So I created a method because a lot of my clients have been doing this for a long time. Like these are people who are influencers and celebrities. They've been doing it forever. I created a method called the two for me, two for you method. And what it really means when I break it down is I'm gonna post 2 pieces of content that are for you, that are for the audience that I know that they like, that I know that they want to see from me. And then I'm going to post 2 that I know I want to post, that light me up, that like give me excitement to create and post and curate and put out there. Mm-hmm. And that way it's that kind of like fulfillment. You're evenly fulfilled. And I know for a lot of people, it's not really feasible to post 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. So like if they need to do the one for me, one for you method, that's totally fine too. But obviously like I recommend the more the merrier, yeah. especially on TikTok. But that is kind of like the basis of that is giving it so that you're giving yourself an opportunity to branch out into other niches and to other like categories. And I find that that's like honestly like where the growth really starts to happen because we have so many OG influencers or influencers who think that they have to niche down. I hate that. I don't know if you've seen this in my content. I do not say that you need to niche down. You don't need to pick a niche. You are the niche.
Yeah. Like, I actually love that you say this and I need you to like say it
yes.
again for one more time for anyone who's not seen you on TikTok.
Louder for the people in the back. Like,
please talk about this because yes. I think people feel, I mean, you're given so much fucking conflicting advice. Oh, you do this, do that, like niche down, don't, you know? So tell us, give us the tea.
People say that you have to niche down. You have to figure out your niche and stick to it and find those people and whatever. You are the niche. Like you don't have to niche down. You literally are the niche. You can do whatever you want. And also it's horrible advice because you're pigeonholing yourself essentially. And then on top of that, it's like, okay, so long-term, because that's where my mind goes, is I like to think long-term with everything. If I'm sitting with a client, if I'm sitting with myself, I'm sitting with like you, and I'm like, yeah, you need to niche down, niche down, niche down. Well, what about in 4 years when you're burnt out from that niche, when you want to expand your brand, and now you've only allowed your audience to see one singular side of yourself or one singular thing? So like, no, that's just not a long-term thing. Like, it's just setting yourself up for failure. So yeah. I like to say in every single one of like my content breakdowns or anything like that, pick 4 things, pick 4 content buckets. And you can have one that you favor more than the other, but 4 content buckets so that you have like a consistent amount of content so that you can be like, okay, I love fashion, I love wellness, I love skincare, and I love home decor. And those are the things that I know I'm gonna wanna show in my feed all the time. And those are the things that I'm gonna focus on. It's not saying that like you're not limiting yourself to like those 4 things alone, but it gives you a good like structure. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to do when I'm like doing a strategy deck. Yeah. I like to give structure and like an idea of what we're kind of like a roadmap, you know? Yeah. From there, once you have those 4 things, you can kind of like push those out like doing the two for me, two for you method, or push them out like very organically throughout your feed so that there's different things that people are watching on a daily basis. They know that like you're going to be posting about home decor, and you might also be posting about a beauty tutorial, and you might also show your skincare routine. Like they start to see that from you. And not only is like that great for an audience because it is kind of more of like that well-rounded effect, if you think about it, it's great for a brand too. Because when you're a brand, for example, like if a brand is looking to partner with someone and they only know that like this person posts one niche, then it really only attracts one type of brand deal.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like if you're posting a majority of like your life or skincare, beauty or home decor, whatever it is, it opens the door to so many more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I know that like for a lot of people, monetization is a big thing on social media. So like that's why they want to be an influencer. And that's great, but like that's why you need to think like long term.
Yeah.
You know, you have to think about, okay, if I do want to monetize, I don't want to just monetize in one field. I want to be able to monetize in four different or five different or six different fields. You know, it's like, why would I limit myself? Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm not a niche down girl.
Okay.
Like I'm just, it's just a no.
Honestly, really, really good advice, because as you said, I think it really does prevent someone from, like, you know, later on just like feeling so uninspired because they have to keep talking about this one fucking niche and they're not in that niche anymore.
No,
you know,
they just are like burnt out. And like, I'm sorry, but I just think it's also like very narrow-minded.
Absolutely.
And I see too often, this is actually why I became kind of like a content creator in my own way, is because I see so many social media experts or social media managers saying like, you have to niche down, or you have to do this and you have to do that. And I was like pulling my hair and I'm like, no, this is horrible.
Yeah.
This is shit advice.
Absolutely awful.
Like, I'm like, you're giving horrible advice to people that is honestly gonna burn them out and make them crash in the long run.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, what are you doing? And that's what kind of got me to go on camera and start speaking about things like this, because I'm like, this is just bad.
Yeah.
And I need to figure it out for people.
I'm glad you came on. And okay, so before, now I want to get into audience questions, because this was the most number of audience questions I've ever gotten. I have to tell you, and like, you should be so proud of the community you've built. Like that in itself should be testament.
My community is fucking amazing.
Yeah, they like, really are.
They're fucking great people.
And people are so excited to have you on.
Oh my
you
God.
Know? So like, I'm
blushing.
So the first question we have is tips for someone starting out on TikTok but is used to Instagram.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's kind of similar, but you can do different things. So on TikTok, it's longer form. Again, sorry to be like a broken record, but they want you to be doing 1 minute videos. And then on TikTok, what's really going to matter is SEO. So if you're also not doing that on Instagram, you should probably take note of this too. But on TikTok, they have kind of really honed in on their algorithm. It's a very smart, sophisticated algorithm. That's why you can go from 0 to 1 million pretty much like that, you know, especially with view counts. So if you're not looking at your SEO and you don't know what I'm talking about right now, think about four things. You want to think about auto-generated closed captions. Those are like the little words as I'm speaking coming up, popping up every time. That's going to really matter on TikTok. Also really going to matter is the keywords that pop up while I'm speaking. So to keep someone engaged on TikTok, it's hard because you're kind of competing with everybody when they're scrolling. You want to create like pattern disruptors. And I want to go into that too, because that's where I want to talk about like subliminal hooks a little bit. But you want to think about pattern disruptors. And a lot of those times you can use your keywords popping up as like almost like a double bonus of how to push your like video out there. So popping up keywords that you're speaking about, and then on top of that, putting keywords in your captions and then using very specific hashtags. People think on TikTok and on Instagram that you need to use like a bundle of hashtags. No. Instagram and TikTok, this is like a huge thing that like I've talked to so many of my contacts. They want you using 2 to 3 very specific, very targeted hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a video where I'm like, hashtags are dead, SEO is in.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because people think hashtags are an end all be all. They are not. They're not going to do it like that for you. They're going to support your video. They're going to help your algorithm understand what your video is about, which is why I'm like honing in on the four things that you should actually be doing on every video. And I know that like on Instagram, that's not necessarily what people are focused on. So TikTok, that is very important.
So talk to me about the popping up words that you're saying. Like, what does that mean? Like, does that mean that the title of the video should be that?
Yes. Or, okay. Your you should have a title on every video. Like, the first thing, like, even if you go to my videos, you see me do this on every video and you might not even know. But I put what they're going to get right away, because not only is it helping an audience member be like, yeah, I want to stop and watch this, but it's also helping the algorithm understand what your video is about. Mm. So, like, every single one of my videos has the search bar and it has a targeted category that the algorithm has understood my video, taken it into the back end, and then shifted it into the pool that, you know, gets pushed out to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little confusing, but at the same time, it's kind of easy. And that's why I like to like break it down to the four steps. Keywords are those titles. And then also while you're talking. So like, let's say you were talking about bloating and how Array can really help you. As you're talking, you want to pick the words up that like are almost like buzzwords. So bloat, like de-bloating, like this is how you can de-bloat after dinner. That's like something that you would pop up. It's almost like old school vibes with YouTube. Mm-hmm. YouTube used to do this a lot where like they'd pop up words, but that was more stylistically.
Mm-hmm.
This is more strategically. So you want to be popping up the words that are very strategic so that the algorithm can understand what you're talking about. It also keeps audience attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and with that, I want to talk about subliminal hooks. Because,
yes.
By the way, this is how I found you. And I'm like, this girl is a genius.
So
tell us everything.
This is also like a TikTok. I mean, it is an Instagram thing too. Like, it's hard to kind of differentiate because they are similar in ways. People think that like it's completely different boat. It's not. It's really not. The interface is obviously different. But on TikTok, there are things called subliminal hooks that influencers and creators do. They may know that they're doing that. They may not know that they're doing it. So subliminal hooks are pattern disruptors. They're things that happen within the first 15 seconds of your videos, and that you don't even have to have the influencer or creator say anything interesting at all. It can be something as simple as like talking, and like while I start talking, I start off my video like by kind of like lightly touching my a bottle. Like that could be a subliminal hook. Or another subliminal hook is like when, and you've probably seen this so much, and this is probably how you found me, the lip gloss tactic.
Yes.
So a lot of influencers, now this one's played out, so I don't want everybody going and rushing over and doing this, but this one's a little played out now. But like starting your video off and starting it while you're applying lip gloss was probably the first time I was like, that's a subliminal hook. And I say this and I kind of want to back up for a second, because to make people understand what I'm really talking about, marketing hooks are things that are like, if you are doing this right now, you need to stop doing that. Like, that's a marketing hook. Those are dead. Those should be buried. Subliminal hooks are what actually should be focused on. So subliminal hooks are the little tiny things like swirling up your coffee or iced coffee.
I was literally just thinking that,
Swirling your iced coffee when you get, or having like Anastasia, I can't remember her last name, but she's really good at this. When she starts a video, she always shakes her bracelets.
This is funny, but I did that for literally it was not on purpose.
Yeah.
And my video went viral. So I kept doing it. And it's like the thing now, but it's
funny. It's the weirdest thing. People are weird, but like, I love it because I can like catch on. I have a whole subliminal hook bank that I use in my courses, but I think that like another one that's like a really good one that nobody talks about, starting a video in your car. Okay. Like basically in your car with the interior behind you and like putting your phone down, acting as if you've just put the phone down, okay? It's a little shaky in the beginning. You've just put the phone down. It makes people feel, and there's a psychological reasoning behind all of this. I've actually like talked to a psychologist about this. It makes people feel like there's an organic feeling to it. Like you just had a thought and you're gonna share it with them. Like if you're in a car, you just had a thought, you're gonna rant with them. And now you're gonna go on a tangent or a tandem or whatever it is. And it makes people feel like, oh, they wanna know what you're talking about. They wanna know exactly like what you're about to say because they feel like they're in this thought with you, you know? Whereas like when a video is perfectly put down and almost feels like a little staged, that's what's showing up a majority of the time on TikTok. That's why these are subliminal hooks. These are pattern disruptors. While you're scrolling, it makes people more likely to stop their scroll and watch your video.
Okay, this is genius. Okay, more questions. What are some social media patterns and predictions for 2024 around the use of AI?
So AI is a little tricky. I know it's everywhere and I might have like a hot take on it. I personally don't like using it for captions or social copy or even content creation. I just don't think that it's like there yet. Mm-hmm. I think right now where I see AI working is as almost like your little assistant. So like if you're kind of in a creative rut or you need a little help with writing a caption or anything on social media, use AI for that. I think that can be really helpful. And I don't think that it is there to the point where it can overtake someone's voice. So I'm really, really particular about a voice online. Mm-hmm. I'm really particular about not only mine, but like my client's voice. That's, I think, why I've been able to work with the people that I've been able to work with, is because I can nail a voice pretty quickly. And that takes skill and that takes a human. And mm-hmm. I don't think AI is gonna replace that as of right now where it stands. So I see videos of people being like, I just built out my 30-day content calendar just using AI. That's BS. That's like the biggest load of bullshit.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. It just isn't gonna do it. Like if you have your content built out by AI, or if you have your content like structured or shot or whatever by AI, it's just not gonna feel the same right mm-hmm. now. So I don't know if I have a prediction other than right now, it's not there. And it might get there and mm-hmm. I might be the one to talk about it. But
right
as
now?
Of right now, no.
Okay. So the next one is, how well do you need to be doing on all the platforms to make a full-time living?
Surprisingly, not that well. Like, you don't need to be a massive macro influencer. You don't have to be this like huge influencer anymore. And the reason behind that is because followers don't matter. It's all about your conversion rate. So if you have 500 followers and all 500 are engaged with you and are obsessed with you, you can land a brand deal. Might not be a huge brand deal, but you can land a brand deal like that. So the focus should really be on like your audience. That's why I've kind of touched on community and conversion, because that is what's gonna actually like get you those brand deals and get you to the point where like you don't have to be a huge influencer to be your own brand, you know?
Also, just to add to this, from yes. a brand owner lens, we have seen micro influencers who have
oh, yeah.
such engaged audiences. I've never seen anything
even
like it.
Nano influencers. So
yes.
I wanna touch on this really quickly for both creators and brands. I have two things that I really want to say here. So with micro influencers or nano influencers, I think that there's such a huge opportunity right now, because people are so sick of seeing the same influencer over and over go on the same brand trips and get the same PR packages and post all of the gifting and all of the things. We're done with it. We want to see real people who yes. we love and who we support. So I think that with a micro influencer, that's where you've kind of like nailed it, is because that micro influencer has that audience that they love them, they want to support them, they want to see them like grow. The other thing with brands is letting your audience be the influencers. So let your audience have a seat at the table. Your brand events, I think you're a genius for like, you know, doing brand events, but in-person events and gifting and PR, all of those things, they're very gatekept to influencers right now.
Yeah, and I don't know why brands do that. Like for our constipation event,
yes.
it was for our community.
Your community, and I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought that that was like truly, that's why I brought you up on a brand thing that I was doing. I was like, yes, more brands need to do something like this.
Yeah.
Like more brands need to give their audience seats at the table. Like they don't want to see other people who aren't even buying the product, by the way. They're just getting gifted the product.
Yeah.
Like your audience, your community are the people who are buying from you. So give back to them.
Yeah. And also the thing is that for us, our mantra at Array has been from the very beginning, treat your consumers like an influencer.
I love that.
Right? Because the thing is that if you think about just like yourself,
yes.
okay? Think about when your best friend comes to you and she's like, Julia, I bought this incredible pair of earrings or this perfume. Like,
yes.
you will buy it.
Yes.
You'll buy it because it's your best friend telling you that. Not that you're not going to do the same with, like, a creator that you trust on the internet, but you have to give a seat at the table to the best friend.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%. And, like, just going off of trust really quickly, like, I am at a level where the big creators, the macro influencers, the huge ones with millions and millions of followers, I don't really trust them. And I don't think audience members trust them anymore either, because they're showing so many products, so many different products all the time. And it's kind of like this revolving wheel of like all these products, and we know they're sponsored. We know they're gifted. Like, what do you actually use? And yeah. that's why I think like your audience is so great to be those nano influencers for you and be the ones that are kind of like word on the street for you, creating content, UGC creators. Like, this is your time to shine. You know, like you do not need to have millions of followers to be a massive influencer.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is that, I don't know, I think like there's been this democratization of what it means to be an influencer, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's no longer just the girl with a million followers or 100,000 followers or whatever number of followers. It's like on TikTok, a girl with 10 followers can go viral. Literally. And then she's an influencer, you know? So like that shift has happened, and I feel like brands need to catch up.
Brands really need to catch up. Like I really felt it strongly this January. I was like last month, I was seeing all these brand trips and I'm like, I'm over it. And I know my audience is over it. I asked them, I was like, does this do it for you? And everybody in the comments is like, no.
It turns me off. Yeah. And also like what it may do is make you want to be an influencer to right. get like, you know, included, but it doesn't necessarily make you want to buy the product.
Right. And it doesn't make you feel like there's any value there. Like, okay, so I'm seeing a group of influencers who I see all the time go on all these bougie trips. I don't get to be included. Like, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, the brand awareness has gone out the window because it's not going to make us want to buy the product. That's exactly. not doing anything. It's not pushing the needle. Brands need to realize that like their community matters just as much as the creators' community. Like yeah. it's one and the same.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. I want to talk about TikTok Shop because yeah. this is obviously the hot new thing.
Yeah.
Give us your take.
Oh, this is hard. I know creators who are making a ton of money on TikTok Shop. So I think that one in a million are doing so, so, so well. I think I have a hard time telling everybody to go and do TikTok Shop because I'm hearing very mixed things. So when you do TikTok Shop, a lot of people, when they see that sponsored or when they see that TikTok Shop button, they scroll past your content. Like, it's kind of QVC-esque. I don't know if people are gonna know that reference, but like QVC is this platform where it's just they're selling you something over and over again. People like TikTok for entertainment for the most part. They want to go into like a rabbit hole of content. So when you're on and you're just scrolling through TikTok Shop videos, it gets really overwhelming and really salesy really fast. So it's like, yes, maybe once in a while doing a TikTok Shop video, but I'm not seeing that great of conversion of like, if you're just going to hone in on that, trying to become an influencer from that. It's just not going to do it for you.
No.
It's just not. It's getting pushed out way too much. And it's going to happen less and less because people are turned off by it. They just are.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some sort of a balance. You know? Like, I think if you are using that capability, and I think that it is something that TikTok is pushing. And I, you know, like if a platform is introducing something, I think they also reward people who are getting on it.
For sure. Like, can I just reference something else really
quick?
Absolutely. Because something else that I wanted to mention earlier is Threads, actually. Mm-hmm. So everybody remembers Threads. It came out like, I don't know, last year. And it was the rival to Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Instagram's like little baby. And no one's really using Threads anymore. Like, it kind of like came and went. However, Instagram wants you to be using Threads. So that is something where if you're a creator who's really, really looking to grow and trying to do all of the things, using Threads, they're actually pushing people who are using Threads. So like, I would make sure you're on Threads. Use Threads every single day. That is something that is actually going to help you because they are going to recognize that and boost you in the back end. TikTok Shop, similar. Little different because you don't want to create your content around just shoppable things. It just becomes old and people are like, well, you're just trying to sell me something all the time. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Like, you hit it. Like, there has to be a balance. I think if you can find that balance, you're in a really good spot. However, TikTok Shop wouldn't be like the first thing I go and do on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I would build my community first, then maybe do a TikTok Shop video every like couple times a week, maybe, you know, just that's just like, it's too much.
Yes.
It's too salesy.
Agreed.
You know?
Okay. Any creators that really stick out to you right now?
Yeah. You know, I think Paige Lorenz is doing a really good job. I think she's doing a great job. I think obviously like There are some big ones, but I do want to name some smaller ones. Eloise Dufka, I think, does a really good job. Do you know her?
No.
She does a really good job, I think, in terms of just her daily content. She's also beautiful, but I think
she
doesn't
TikTok get... Is she TikTok or Instagram?
She does both. I think she's bigger on TikTok.
Okay.
But I want to go back to Paige actually really quickly, because Paige is someone who does pretty much everything that I've mentioned. She's really good to her community. She's very, like, I posted a story the other day, like, mentioning her, and she liked it immediately. Like, she's so on it. She wants her audience to feel like she's warm and she's there. And, you know, when someone's posting about watching her YouTube vlog, she reposts that video. Like, she's not, like, weird about sharing other people's stuff on her stories, you know? And I think she does a really good job of just, like, being that person, that girl that does the hub of things. She's not just doing one thing. So she's a really good example to go look at. I think that also, I mean, Elsa Hosk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she crushes. I think she has like 15 mil on Instagram.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
If anybody doesn't know, she's an ex Victoria's Secret model.
And she's so
chic. She's so chic. She's so beautiful. Oh. She does not need to be posting on Instagram, but she slays on Instagram. Like, I mean, she doesn't have a TikTok. I think she just started posting. But I think what she does really well is take her audience through things that they're never gonna see, like a fashion show. Like, she takes them through everything. I think she's really good at showing behind the scenes on her stories. Like, she shows about her brand. She's talking about her March drop and, like, getting people excited about launches and things. Like, these are people who I look to and I'm like, oh.
She evolved, though.
She evolved.
Like, you have plenty of these, like, big models or, like, whatever, with millions of followers, but then they decide that they, I don't know, like, they just don't want to do the work to, like, keep that audience engaged. And I'm like, this is a waste.
It's such a waste. And, like, yeah, I mean, the evolution on Instagram and on TikTok and on social media in general, it's so crucial.
Yeah.
If you're not going to evolve, then you're in the wrong business here. Like,
yeah.
You can't really be an Instagram and TikTok and an influencer or a brand if you're not willing to kind of, like, learn as you go and, and change as you go. You know, you kind of have to have that, like, trust and faith in the fact that, like, your brand is just ever changing and that's just the way it's gonna go, you know? And that's a good thing. Like, I think it's a great thing and it's exciting.
So we have Elsa Hosk and Paige Lorenz, who are larger creators. Yes. Any smaller ones who
So that's why I chose Eloise Dufka, because she's a little bit smaller and I think she does a really good job. I think she's someone who shows kind of, like, her daily everything. Like, she shows what books she's liking and what skincare she's loving, and it doesn't feel so, like, salesy and adsy all the time. Very, like, behind the scenes, like, kind of, I don't know. I think that she's always, like, giving back in some way, and I think it's great. Other than that, I have a very critical lens. Like, I'm coming from, obviously, like, my background, I have 7 years in social media background. I've worked with brands on the brand side of things. I've worked at an agency. I have such a critical lens of, like, who I think is doing a great job. So if I do say your name, it's like a good thing. I don't want to, like, kiss up, but you're killing it.
Oh my God, you're so sweet.
And I think that people with you and with Array, because I think Array is, like, really, really, really interesting to me, because when you go to your Instagram as, like, the brand, you don't necessarily feel like it's a supplement brand. Mm. Like, you don't know. It feels like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that you've done a really good job there. And then with the swap of, like, not making your entire personality on Instagram just about your brand. I think that is a huge miss for creators. Like, there are so many people I want to shake and be like, there is more that you should be talking about, but you're not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you're crushing. And then obviously, like, there, the ones that come to mind are bigger. And I think that it's probably because of my critical lens that
I
feel like,
yeah,
you know, but there are so many micro influencers out there that are just crushing and doing such a good job. And I think that if I think of any, I'll post on Instagram and I'll tag you.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, this has been, can we do a part two for real? Like, this was so fun.
I feel like we should do a part two and have it be, like, so, like, because, like, after this, I'm sure so many people are going to be like, we need more on this topic,
yes,
or we need more on that topic.
Yes.
Because we didn't even go into, like, planning content.
No, we need a part two. We need a part two. Okay, we'll set this up as soon as we get out of the studio. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, I'm Julia Broom on Instagram and on TikTok. I just started posting on Instagram, so don't judge me. I did not take my own advice, but last year I started posting on TikTok, so you can find me on both.
Also, her TikTok, just side note, that's how I found your account. It's incredible, full of like such good tangible advice. Like one of my favorite accounts. I always search for you every day because I'm like, it's like such good advice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to give it all away. At this point, I'm like, I have 7 years of this. I just want to give it all away. I want to help, you know, I want to give back at this point.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved the episode and feel like it brought you value, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review. It takes 5 seconds and really helps the show grow so I can keep bringing on awesome guests. If you want to follow me behind the scenes, you can find me on Instagram at Sif Hyder. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. I drop new episodes every Tuesday, so come hang with me and shoot the shit with some really smart people, learn and unlearn, and have a lot of fun. See you next week. Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.